more.
Hey, it's Mike Doty. You are listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
I hear the bells down in the canyons. It's snowing in New York. Some blue December.
Hello, New York. You're listening to a pre-recorded Queer State of Mind. I'm your host, Ori Givens. In case you haven't looked outside yet, it's a snow day here in New York City and on the East Coast, so we aren't live this week. But that doesn't mean you can't get into a Queer State of Mind with a great segment from our sister show, The Brown Table. Plus, if you missed last week's interview with Chris Harder and Sir Honey Davenport about their sexy new show, Nasty Drew and That Harder Boy, The Mystery of the Family Jewels, then you can catch a replay later on in the hour. And you'll get the latest news from around New York, the nation, and the world. But first up, our friends from our sister show, The Mics of the Brown Table, on Talktainment Radio in Columbus, Ohio, bring you their take on this week's hot topics. So grab you a warm beverage and join us on this snowy Saturday on Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn.
All right, welcome back to the Brown Table, Ohio's new place for queer people of color to conversate. First up, hashtag Oscar So White. Now, there is so much shade and drama going on with this topic, that it might just go ahead and take up our whole first segment this evening.
Mm-mm-mm. So, hashtag Oscar So White is trending for the third year in a row, almost immediately after the nominations were announced. People of color were completely shut out of all major categories, and the top 25 nominees were all white. Again.
What do y'all think about that?
The shade.
Right? That's a full-on read right there.
That is a palm tree. They built a hole around that theater, okay? Just keeping all the black people out. But I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either. It's the world we live in.
Do you hear me? Like,
there's a lot of separation going on. People don't know how to respect one another. And it's really disheartening to see art being not acknowledging the way it should be.
It's sad. It's what it is. It really is.
Well, this year, for the first time, multiple celebrities have spoken out against the nominations, with some even calling for a boycott. Whoopi Goldberg and Brad Pitt both spoke out very passionately, but not against the nominations, but for the lack of diversity in Hollywood during the rest of the year, while Jada Pinkett Smith and Spike Lee called for an actual boycott of the Oscar ceremony itself. Now, sorry. Go ahead.
You know what? I saw Whoopi. She went in.
She did go in.
I feel like she forgets sometimes that she's on television.
She got that old woman syndrome.
But I don't think she's wrong. I think that we do need to show more diversity in Hollywood and television, and it's everyone. We don't have a lot of black people. We don't have a lot of Latino people. We don't have a lot of Asian people being given roles, and that's where it starts. You can't win an award for a role you never had.
Exactly. I think we definitely need to have more diversity in film throughout the year. So I do agree with Whoopi on that one. Cameron, what were you going to say? You sound like you was fired up.
Fired up over here.
Yeah, I'm always fired up. It's lit. I'm just like, the thing that, I mean, I feel the exact same way, but it just, I'm kind of like, we'll talk about a little later, I'm kind of like on Black Aunt Viv's side. Like, it's just funny how like how Jada and them, they're like speaking up now, but when it comes to like issues like Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, a lot of those type of Hollywood types are just all like, we're trying to keep the whole thing of all lives matter, or they don't want to say anything, but when it comes down to something that affects their money, they're like, nah, we need to boycott, which, I mean, I can understand when it hits you in your pockets, but you know what I'm saying? What about your cousin Ray Ray and them that, you know what I'm saying, ain't in movies? Y'all ain't talking about that. Y'all want to boycott the Oscars, but y'all won't boycott Costco or something like that.
That's real.
No,
it ain't affecting them.
Definitely do agree with that if it was affecting them more, then maybe they Like, if these other issues were affecting them more, maybe they would have a little something to say about it.
And then it all still kind of falls under the Black Lives Matter umbrella, right? Like, they're boycotting the Oscars because of the lack of black faces and black spaces. Black Lives Matter. But if you brought it to, like, some of their attention, they probably wouldn't try to tie it together because their publicists told them not to.
But at the end of the day, though, my whole thing is, what is boycotting the Oscars going to do, really?
Exactly.
First off, let me just say this, that I literally have not given a damn about the Oscars since 1995.
You know what I'm saying?
And Babe got nominated for an Oscar, but Waiting to Exhale did not.
Right.
Now, let me tell y'all, for real, like, that's when I lost hope, okay? My little 12-year-old self said, wait a minute, I do not see Whitney Houston up there. I don't see Angela Bassett. I don't see Loretta Devine up there.
Oh, girl.
But Babe got nominated. Nobody. Yeah. And do y'all remember? I don't know if y'all old enough for this, but that year on the news, like every single night when Waiting to Exhale came out, it would be on the local news. Tons of women of every single race lined up outside the theater.
It was before, like, the Sex and the City
phenomenon. Yeah. That was their movement. And so when Oscars came around, I used to be an Oscar fiend. And then when that came around in 95 and Waiting to Exhale didn't get no nominations, nothing. I've been done since then. So, I mean, my expectations are already low for the Oscars.
I wasn't old enough to understand back then.
This bitch always got shade.
I was three.
He was three.
Yes.
Okay.
Man.
That's sweet.
Janet Huber, who played the original Flavor, Aunt Viv, on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, came out obviously against Jada, but more so with Will, for demanding an Oscar boycott. According to her, there are more pressing issues affecting black people, and Will and Jada only speak out, like we said, when they're affected. So she also goes on to get pretty messy about her and Will's past on The Fresh Prince, which I thought was irrelevant. I didn't even understand why she brought that up. I said, you just want to maintain some type of relevance in society.
Exactly, my
point. No one has even seen you for years, and this is the first thing you say? The first thing you say.
I didn't even see the video. I was at work. We're not allowed to stream at work. Ooh. So I was at work scrolling through Facebook, and I was only able to, you know, when you scroll past it and the video play, I was only able to do that. And I scroll past, like, whose grandma is on here trying to read somebody? She looked like she letting them have it, too. So I felt like it was a bunch of shade
she
being
had the glasses
thrown
on.
In that
she
video.
Had the glasses.
Yeah, just, she took a break from baking her sweet potato pie because she felt something in her spirit and she needed to speak on it.
She
was the neck rolling and everything with her little glasses on. Look like she just got done knitting.
It was interesting, too, because she was just so messy about it, you know?
Oh,
and
my gosh,
I understood her message, but it was just so messy.
And that's the thing. Jada came out very articulate, very poised, very staged kind of thing. And that, for some reason, in this world, would get you more leeway than just going in via a FaceTime video on your phone.
On your phone.
In your kitchen.
She had the kitchen. Bringing up Will was the most for me because she was like, even though Jada said it, Will, I know it was you or whatever. And I'm like, and then Will had the nerve to come out. I don't know if you guys saw the ET interview.
No.
But Will came out and he was like, I support my wife. I agree with her in this. And they asked him, they were like, oh, did you know she was going to do this? And he was like, oh, no, I had no idea. I was overseas and I saw it after. I was like, girl. Come on now. Like, you didn't know she was posting that video up there. That was my literal reaction.
Like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Right?
Exactly.
But I feel like they just be honest and open. And then another thing with Will and Jada for me is, one of the things that Jada said when she said, let's boycott the Oscars, was she was like, let's do our own thing.
Yeah.
Let's invest in our own. But when have you seen Will and Jada at the BET Awards?
And they have
like...
Exactly. And they have their own production company. So you would think that if they're investing in their own, you would be seeing more movies. Even independent films. We're talking Sundance Film Festival. Of you putting out movies that have black cast but not necessarily
now
black
wait a minute.
Movies.
Hold on.
And like,
they do put out movies with black cast. It's their kids. They got black cast, okay? If it ain't a family member, they ain't messing with you though.
No. And that's real.
Oh man.
Ooh, okay.
Smith Lives Matter.
Maybe they're woke. I mean, everybody wakes up at some point. Maybe now they're woke.
Maybe. I hope they woke, but if they need to show it outside of the Oscar situation.
Yeah, that's
we'll
real.
See.
Yeah, but also coming out against Jada and Will is Alexis Arquette, the transgender sister of David and Patricia Arquette. Now, this is some inflammatory-ish, so I'm going to go ahead and read her entire quote here. When Jada comes out as gay and her beard husband admits his first marriage ended when she walked into him butt-servicing his sugar daddy, Benny Medina, then I will listen to them. Will threw a fit on the set of Six Degrees of Separation when he was required by the scene to kiss Anthony Rapp. He persuaded the director to shoot the back of his head in the frame, blocking the non-existent lip lock entirely. F him. Gays have enemies. They lurk in gilded closet. Outing is healthy. You are either with us or against us. You decide today.
Girl, shut up.
Okay.
You don't be quiet. What business is that of yours?
Right. Exactly.
What business is that of yours? If they are beards, if they are
covering we're going to have to pick up on this right when we come back from break. Oh.
You called me last night on the telephone, and I was glad to hear from you, cause I was all alone. You said, it's snowing, God, I hate this weather. Now I walk through blizzards just to get us back together. We met in the springtime at a rock and roll show. It was on the Bowery when it was time to go. Kissed on the subway in the middle of the night. I held your hand, you held mine. It was the best night of my life. Cause everyone's your friend in New York City, and everything looks beautiful when you're young and pretty. The streets are paved with diamonds and there's just so much to see. But the best thing about New York City is you and me. Liberty, Staten Island, Ferry, Co-op City, Cactus, the Tiffany, Central Park, Brooklyn Bridge, the Empire State where Dylan lived, Coney Island, and Times Square, Rockefeller Center, wish I was there. You wrote me a letter just the other day.
I want to wrap up the tomfoolery that is the Oscars. We're just talking about what Alexis Arquette just said to Will and Jada. But also I want to add to the conversation, Stacey Dash has come out and basically said, let the Oscars be white or get rid of Black History Month and BET.
Okay, let me just speak 2 seconds, just because I understand what she is trying to say. Her articulation has failed. Mm. It is very bad, and she needs to get it together. It's true. We're all humans on this earth. I mean, when it comes down to it, the reason why we have all these problems in the dang first place is because we can't get down to that. And I understand what she's saying, segregation or integration, but it's you can't get rid of things that matter to people. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? That matters to people. BET matters to people. NCAA matters to people. Black History Month matters to people, and it recognizes things. We should have a Black History Month. We should have...
Every month should be Black History Month. I feel you on that.
Every month for me is Black History Month. But I look at Stacey Dash, and then I look at my great-great-grandmother, and I look at her like, okay, this heifer is saying this stuff, but this heifer was in the kitchen in the house during slave times. Yeah. So she's saying get rid of BET with my great-great-great-grandmother fought for when she was out there in them fields picking that cotton and stuff like that. So she I mean, you know, I just feel like... I don't know how I feel. She just would be in the kitchen. Like, she wouldn't be out there in the field. So I just
she would be a housewife.
Yes.
Well, this is what Dash actually said. She says, we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. If we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the NAACP Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're Black. If it were the other way around, we'd be up in arms. It's a double standard, just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month. You know, we're Americans, period. That's it, end quote. Now, first of all, Miss Dash, honey.
You're wrong.
You're wrong because the NAACP Image Awards and the BET Awards have honored white people.
Pretty sure Justin Bieber was on there.
Pretty sure Eminem was on there.
Eminem, yeah. Justin Timberlake.
technically.
Yeah.
That's still up for debate.
The problem with Stacey, is she's one of them people who wants to like believe in the ploy of white supremacy because she can pass through it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So she tries to make a point to be like, no, we're all Americans, but at the same time putting down like her ethnicity. Like, you don't hear her brother saying anything like that. Damon Dash, he on the Breakfast Club talking about, we all need to be boss. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? And they both went to private schools and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, you have her who's on one side. She's like, I swear I have been there before. You know what I'm saying? Like, just being in a place where it's like, no, we're all everybody. You know, da 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 da. I've never not privileged anything over my blackness. That's what she's trying to do. And then she's on Fox News, first of all.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing.
So it's like, if you want to say that, then you would need to get away with Fox News.
Because
all you do is talk craziness about everybody else that ain't like y'all.
But see, my whole thing with Stacey Dash is, I don't think that she is like trying to act, well, I definitely think she's trying to access privilege, but I think she knows exactly what she's doing. I think Stacey Dash will do anything for a little bit of shine and a paycheck. Honestly, because... For real, I mean, just like she was on BET all those years. Did y'all see the reply tweet that BET sent out?
Oh, like,
what? Yeah. What did they? She was on the game.
Yeah, she was. You know, I live for Messi. Yep. So BET replied back to a tweet with her with a picture of her on the game,
yep.
And they were like, "So Stacey, can we get our check back
exactly.
or not?"
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Wait, hold on.
Clapback season.
Hold on. They put hashtag you were on the game, hashtag, and we're not talking about the rapper. Oh!
Also,
now,
there was a white person on the game, just saying.
There was.
And a mixed family on the game.
Yeah.
Everyone tries to act like BET is this exclusive thing, and yeah, there's some things I don't agree that BET does. BET mm-hmm. Uncut. I was not all right with that.
Oh, yeah.
But
I used to love BET Uncut.
Tip Drill.
Tip Drill. Remember that one song, White Girl,
That was just a couple years ago.
I remember BET.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry, that took me back.
But yeah, like you said, I understand what she's saying, but at the same time, she's not privileging her blackness. Like, if anything, you could say like, well, I just feel it's just horrible. We just all need to be inclusive of each other. But she's like, no, we don't need BET or nothing.
Yeah. So on a more positive note, let's see. Code Magazine reveals its latest cover in honor of the approaching Black History Month, christened hashtag Generation Noir, which I love that name. Celebrating six of the industry's most talented and young black actresses, the cover features leading young actresses such as Zendaya Coleman, Kat Graham, Soraya, Kiersey Clemons, Yara Shahidi, and Aja Naomi King. In an interview conducted by Ricky Benick, the ladies discussed their current projects and upcoming projects in Hollywood, as well as what it means to be a woman of color in entertainment.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys actually saw, the picture that was tweeted out or the cover of Code. So I'll break down who everyone is, just so y'all know who that list of names was. Well, yeah, most people know who Zendaya is, so I'm not going to go into Zendaya. Kat Graham is from The Vampire Diaries, and then she also had that one song out, something with the cowbell, more cowbell.
Shake your cowbell, baby.
Cameron, you know that's not a real song. You know that's not.
Oh, man. I thought that was
a
song.
It should be.
Soraya is from Empire. She is the singer from Empire.
The bald one?
No, not the bald one. The other one that's with Hakeem.
The lesbian.
Oh, yeah, I forgot she was a lesbian.
Yeah, she's cute.
Come on now.
Bald lesbian.
Wait, hold on.
She's cute.
Soraya.
Don't know what we would do, but she
you're talking about Raven's ex, but Soraya's. Yes.
Oh, that's Raven's
yes,
ex.
Yes, that is yes. Raven's ex. She's a model.
She can get it.
She can get it.
I don't know what'll happen.
Well, apparently.
You can get it.
But apparently, you can't get her from Raven. I don't know.
Want it from Raven.
No, Kiersey Clemons. Did anybody see the movie Dope? I love that movie.
I watched it.
She was a lesbian. Yep.
She was Kiersey Clemons was a lesbian in Dope. Yara Shahidi, she's the daughter in Blackish, the oldest daughter in Blackish.
Oh,
yeah. Right. And then Aja Naomi King is the black girl in How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my girl. The student?
Yeah, the student.
The real
yeah,
the black one. Student.
The mm-hmm. one who was married to, or her, she was engaged. When her, to the bisexual
dude. Yeah, well, the down low dude.
Mm-hmm.
Gay.
Mm. The down low.
Yeah, so I feel like this is like a nice list. Yeah. Yeah. Like reading the names, I wouldn't know who they were, but like upon their work, you know. Yeah.
I'm glad they're getting featured, that's for sure. I'm so happy about that. Especially mm-hmm. the girlfriend. Dope was a great movie.
And oh my God, that was so good.
Haven't had a chance to see that movie, go see that movie. It's a great depiction of just
Who's that? My husband.
Well, Los Angeles, Long Beach. No, that was in Long Beach, wasn't it?
Was it Long Beach?
It was either Los Angeles or Long Beach,
Yeah, definitely. I think it was definitely L.A., for sure.
Yeah, that was a really good movie.
I liked
was
it.
Was that A$AP Rocky?
Yep, when
That's
he was playing the
husband.
Oh, yeah, that was A$AP in there.
I
love
that.
Yes. Okay,
you be that pretty that. Mother. Oh.
Mm, yes, not here.
But them
yes.
black young nerds. Mm. Mm. Yes.
So anyways, we just celebrated Martin Luther King Day this week, right. And I'm interested to know how everyone's Martin Luther King Day was.
Mine was lit. I'm just playing.
Ooh, is that how you're supposed to do it?
Yeah, mine was pretty lit, too. I did it for the culture.
I know that's right.
You know,
I had to work 14 hours. Oh, it's like, and normally I work an 8-hour shift.
I would have been like, excuse me.
My job chose to hold like a company-wide rally on Martin Luther King's Day, and then make us work a full shift on top of that.
Oh, wow.
I work at a place mostly employed by black people. So it's like...
Like it's our holiday,
right? You gonna make me work overtime?
And you gonna make me
day?
Work double? That seems like kind of backwards,
right?
That's
racist.
This ain't reparations. Rosa Parks. So, Cameron, you actually posted something that kind of shocked me, and that I really didn't know about, and it was a News One article, and I wanted to read an excerpt from it. The United States government has wrapped Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy in the American flag, waving his words to symbolize racial harmony and patriotic solidarity, even as institutionalized white supremacy remains embedded in policies detrimental to the very black community he tirelessly strived to uplift. Very little is spoken of the fact that a Memphis jury found the United States government guilty of conspiring to assassinate Dr. King on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel on April 4th, 1968. After 4 weeks of testimony and over 70 witnesses in a civil trial in Memphis, Tennessee, 12 jurors reached a swift unanimous verdict on December 8, 1999, that Dr. King was assassinated as a result of a conspiracy, the New York Times reported at the time. The King family who filed the suit was awarded $100, and they donated the minuscule amount to charity. Wow.
Yep. If you've ever been to Memphis and you've ever gone to the Martin Luther King Museum,
mm-mm.
they definitely know it's a conspiracy, and they definitely show you exactly how. You walk through, you can see the exact place where he was shot. You can see the exact window from here where he was shot from. You, as you walk along these paths, you see all of these documents laid out. It's not a secret, and it's really, really funny, I think, that America has kind of paraded this legacy of this man that they assassinated.
Exactly.
Just like JFK.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like JFK. I'm
just
not even
like
going to be silent
Panthers,
about it.
Right?
Just like Bob Marley. Just like all of these people that have died from mysterious causes or assassins that, mm-hmm. you know, don't even remember doing things. All this stuff. And our government is very unjust in that way. And we forget that. And we believe in them.
I heard, too, my friend Tony, who was working, he had some papers from the CIA that I got a little glimpse of.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And he was saying that even the guy who shot Martin Luther King was set up. So he was actually set up. The whole entire thing was a conspiracy. Every single person involved in it, it was just for media attention. It was to make money, probably. It was to get over on somebody, on somebody.
Yeah, it was to stop the man in a movement. That's a crazy.
Everything is set up. Everything is set up. Nothing
well, and that's what they
for
say.
No reason. Nothing
that's what they say
no
in
reason.
This trial.
This stuff that happened in Paris, everything is set up.
Okay, now Darius is a resident conspiracy theorist, but I'm going to have to say he right on this one.
Everything set up.
I remember when this verdict came out. It came out like on the nightly news. You saw it like that one night. Didn't hear about it. Again, I can't remember what was going on at that time. Something was going on. I can't remember.
Well, there's always something going on when something else is going on.
Prime example. The day that gay marriage was legalized, a lot of people didn't know that they also passed a bill that police can come into your house without a warrant.
Really?
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Exactly, because they blasted gay marriage everywhere.
And it's so funny. And then our media does that all the time, especially if you ever heard, if you did you or did you not hear about that case. I'm not going to, I think his name is Daniel Holzkopf.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to talk about that on here.
A police officer who was found raping and taking advantage of women of color in his area.
13 women of color.
Yes, I read that.
And the media said nothing. I found out about it on Facebook. I found out it through social media. Thank God we have this generation that's able to communicate with one another in that way. But we do this all the time. Our media does this all the time.
Well, and not only that with Daniel Holzkopf, but he had an all-white, mostly male jury as well.
Still convicted.
Which was, I mean, good. Thank God. Thank God they had some common sense to still convict him, but it's crazy that you can get a jury like that in this day and age still.
It's meant to be of your peers, but then watch someone of color go up there and...
It's not a ghost
under the jail. Under. Oh, my gosh.
That's funny. To me, it's just crazy with the whole Martin Luther King Jr. thing, because it's like they talk about OJ being a trial of the century. They talk about so much. Like, what was Nancy Grace at then? You know, like we about
ain't that it?
Okay, you
she
know?
Probably would have.
Wait a minute.
She probably would have said something. We wasn't in that newstainment area.
Make sure to take Queer Minded with you wherever you go. Subscribe to our feed at radioqueerminded.com/QSOM. Or find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and other popular podcast networks. Just search for Radio Queer Minded. Now, let's get back in a queer state of mind.
Those girls on the mics at the Brown Table are the most. Coming up, more from our sister show and Queer Minded News New York. You're listening to Queer State of Mind, Snowbound Edition. Stay warm, New York City. We'll be back in a moment.
The snow is snowing. The wind is blowing. But I can weather the remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles fall. What do I care if icicles fall? I've got my love to keep me warm.
Thank you for tuning in to Queer Minded News New York. I'm Ori Givens. Severe weather is pounding the East Coast with blizzard conditions in D.C. and New York metro areas. In D.C., heavy snow started last night and metro service was suspended in the area, according to NBC Washington. Their reports say that snow totals have already hit 10 to 12 inches in some areas. Here in New York City, snow and ice are expected to cause havoc on roadways, with snowfall projected to hit 15 to 20 inches over the next 24 hours in the area, according to the National Weather Service. Mayor de Blasio declared a winter weather emergency here in New York City, and residents are urged to stay off the roads. MTA service is operating with disruptions possible as the storm progresses. In other New York City news, City Councilman James Vodka came out this week in a tweet announcing that he's gay. The tweet sent Friday read, "After talking with my friends and family, I've decided to come out publicly as a gay man." He received tons of likes and congratulations from fellow council members and officials. Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito tweeted congrats to the Bronx Councilman Vodka on a brave step and coming out. The 60-year-old Democrat who serves the 13th District finished up his coming out tweet, "Now back to the Golden Girls." According to a reply tweet, he's Team Dorothy. A critically acclaimed film about two gay black youth in Brooklyn premiered in theaters on Friday and hits digital and DVD release next week. Naz and Malik is the story of two closeted Muslim teens over a day in Bed-Stuy. According to a New York Times review, the film intersects themes of religious persecution, government surveillance, and coming out as a queer youth of color from a conservative background. The film plays at the Cinema Village on 12th and Union Square West in the West Village. A local film is also making national news as Sundance kicks off this week. One of the movies in the slate of LGBT films focuses on the people and story of New York ballroom. Kiki is a co-production between Swedish director Sarah Jordanou and leader and gatekeeper of the ballroom scene Twiggy Poochie Garcon. The collaboration takes an intimate and inside look into the New York scene 25 years after Paris's burning gave outside communities a look in. Also in national news, the potential Democratic candidates for president debated before the nation ahead of the Iowa caucus in February. The Advocate reported in their analysis that health care and Wall Street regulation were the sticking points, but overall the candidates agreed on many topics. Poll numbers from CNN ahead of the caucus put Senator Bernie Sanders ahead of Senator Hillary Clinton by 8 points, with Governor Martin O'Malley third with 4 points. Hillary Clinton also received an endorsement from one of the country's largest LGBTQ organizations, but some, including Senator Sanders' campaign, said the endorsement is, quote, not based on facts on the record. The campaign spoke to the Washington Blade this week about the HRC nod and said that it's, quote, understandable and consistent with the establishment organizations voting for the establishment candidate. HRC is the first LGBTQ organization to endorse in the presidential race. That's a look at news from around the city and nation. Stay tuned for more of this special Snow Day Queer State of Mind coming up on Radio Free Brooklyn.
You're listening to Queer State of Mind, New York City's home for queer people of color to gather and talk. Stay connected with all the tea and more. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/queerstateofmind and follow us on Twitter at QSOMNYC.
After the break on Queer State of Mind, our replay of last week's interview with local entertainers Chris Harder and Sir Honey Davenport. They've got a new play with two shows this Sunday and Monday on the Lower East Side, and they'll tell you all about it, the nudity you'll see, and more. Queer Minded World News is next. You're listening to Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thanks for listening to Queer Minded World News Brief. I'm Ori Givens from New York. Gucci is getting called out over their decision to cast a trans female model in a men's fashion show, but the brand and the model defend the choice. Gay Star News reported that Gucci walked American actress and model Hari Neff as its first transgender model. She appeared in the Milan men's runway fashion show last week with 8 other women. Designer Alessandro Michele says the decision was a part of his vision for gender-fluid fashion, and that Neff was one of the models that didn't pass on the work because of worries about bringing attention to their gender identity. According to the article, when Neff's management company asked her about it, she said, quote, "Give me all those jobs. I want to work," end quote. As the fourth city in Japan provides registration for same-sex marriage, more and more brands are working to show support for LGBTQ communities. Friday.Asia reports that companies like Gap Japan, cosmetic brand Shiseido, and more are becoming more open to hosting events and catering to LGBTQ employees and clients. The report indicates it's a reflection of a growing trend of tolerance for LGBTQ people and that more companies will follow suit. If you're queer and in Mumbai, there's a new taxi service that's especially for you. The Rainbow Wings initiative launched last week, and it hopes to empower members of marginalized communities by providing a dignified livelihood, according to the Gay Star News article. The program is in pilot now and has 3 transgender women drivers and 2 gay men. They'll undergo a 9-to-12-month training to get a driver's license and take the road next year. The program is part of Wings Travelers, an Indian travel company that operates in 9 cities. The founder hopes to hire up to 1,500 drivers from the LGBT community. That's a look at news from around the world on Queer State of Mind, powered by the Queer Minded Radio Network. Now, let's get back in a queer state of mind on this snowy Saturday.
Baby.
Welcome back to the Mike to the Brown Table. Again, we are joined in studio here by Senator John McCain's daughter, Tawny McCain.
Here I am. It is I.
Then we have Cameron Scott as well.
Hi, everybody. Hey.
Hey. And then we have Alyssa.
Scott.
Alyssa Scott. Oh, damn. I should have known that. That's See, that was cousin. An easy one. Hey. Alyssa Scott as well joining us tonight. And then Darius Fincher.
But of course.
Hi, Darius.
So, Darius.
So, speaking of rewriting history, Scholastics had to pull a book titled A Birthday Cake for George Washington after public outrage over slaves being shown as jovial and happy to be slaving for George Washington. Now, I don't know who would be, that is not a joyous occasion at all.
The fact that they're smiling on the cover.
Exactly, that is not right.
And the fact that George Washington had his hands around them.
Yeah, like that would have happened.
That would have ever happened.
I'm just so happy watching this white man's feet.
No.
And you know what, the author made a comment saying, you know, those who pretty much saying that house slaves are proud to be house slaves and that they didn't complain essentially
because of their skills,
because again they should be seen for their skills, like she was trying to idolize Hercules as being the first television commercial chef. Like, it was just this tomfoolery.
Yeah, no, well, if that's the case, if he was so proud to be there, why did he run away?
Exactly.
Because he ran away from custody, so you wasn't too happy up in there if you ran away.
People just lost their mind.
Don't lie to these children that way. Don't lie to them saying that slaves was happy. Children, if you're listening, I'm here to tell you, slaves were not happy. Okay? Mm-hmm. They were miserable. All right? That's why they had to, I was about to say, follow the yellow brick road.
Not follow the yellow brick road.
The Underground Railroad.
Not the yellow brick road. All right, Portia. He just confused the Underground Railroad with the Yellow Brick Road. But okay, you caught yourself. You caught yourself.
Oh, God. See, that's why we was following the drinking gorg and stuff. Like,
waiting in the water.
Right.
I think what's most important here to remember is, and it's so funny because you're talking about the Martin Luther King Museum, which I didn't know existed, and I definitely want to go check it out. But I went last year, and I didn't know this existed, but the Underground Railroad Museum in Cincinnati, the Freedom Center.
I went there to hear it open.
I know. I didn't even know that existed, and that literally, like, opened my eyes to so much. Yeah. And one of the things that I remember taking away from there was a quote where they said that slavery has existed throughout history, but what's important to remember about Western slavery and modern slavery was the brutality of it. And so to have these smiling slaves on here, you're taking away what's the most important thing to take away from what y'all did.
Exactly. And that's the thing about our Western world. I was just, we for some reason, the powers that be here are so brutal and so cold. I was watching a video today of prisoners somewhere else. I'm not even gonna say where. Somewhere else, and it was Michael Moore was interviewing them. He was like, "Are you afraid that you'll get raped in the shower? Are you afraid that you'll get beaten?" He's like, "That'll never happen because I have my own shower." Like, what are you talking about? Prisoners, he was looking at him what? He was looking at them like, "How could you say these things or ask these things of me? My prison's fine. Like, I'm learning here. I'm growing here. I'm being rehabilitated as a person here." And there's something about our government and the way things have always been where we are just brutal. We want to kill people. We want to break your spirits. When you're in solitary confinement here, you can't even get a book.
Yeah. But they're trying to manipulate media by taking this cake and sugarcoating it.
We have a history of doing that, because if you go to Germany and look like in the Nazi like Holocaust museum, they pull no punches. They're like, we did this. It was horrible. This is exactly what we did. Da 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 da. But then when you read in our history books, they try to romanticize it, like Gone with the Wind and the Color Purple.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our textbooks come out of Texas. I mean, that's part of the major problem. This wasn't a textbook, but I mean, there's been stuff like this in textbooks throughout the years.
Like, slavery was, I remember slavery being like a little manip, like in social studies.
A little manip. Slavery is a little manip. The complete genocide of the billions of Native Americans that were here was a little.
It's like barely spoken about.
I literally learned when I was 18 that there were not, in my mind, when I learned about Native Americans being here, there was a tribe here and one tribe here and a tribe there. There wasn't billions of people here.
There was a lot of different tribes. Oh, that's why when I was in kindergarten, I got suspended in kindergarten because my grandfather is a Muslim. He's a Muslim of the Nation of Islam, Minister Lance. Yes, but he would teach me at a young age that, I mean, the truth about everything. So I got up one day and, you know, it was Thanksgiving, and I straight told the class, "I don't know what we all celebrating for. Christopher Columbus stole America from my people." She straight called my mom, and I got suspended.
Get suspended over the truth?
Yes, I got suspended. Over the truth? Miss Muhammad, he's ruining the children's vision of the holidays.
Oh, what?
I said, it ain't no holiday?
That's okay.
You're teaching your children lies.
And like, the whole narrative of Thanksgiving is a mess, too. Like, the pilgrims brought food, and everybody
ate. No, they didn't.
High School Musical, we're all in this together.
Bread and, oh my God, and so that's not what happened.
That's how I feel about the book. I just think that it's a small form of brainwashing. You wanna desensitize and make slavery seem not what it was, not the atrocity what it was, and that's what it was. And yeah, we need to grow and progress and look at that and say that was wrong, and let's build new institutions and things to allow people to not even feel this slightness and this like terror and this fear that slavery induced. But like, you can't just sugarcoat it with a cake, with a
truth,
book and a cake.
Like,
it hurts, and it's real.
If we had our Stay in Your Lane segment, we would put this author right in her lane.
Please take all the way over there.
The slow lane.
All the way over there in the carpool lane.
Welcome back to Queer State of Mind on this special snowbound pre-recorded show. I'm your host, Ori Givens. Hope you're staying warm on this blizzard Saturday. We'll be back live next week with all of our co-hosts and an interview with a special lady who's starring in a show with our own Seydou coming in February. Now, here's a replay of our interview with Chris Harder and Sir Honey Davenport, stars of the show Nasty Drew and that Harder boy, The Mystery of the Family Jewels. You're listening to Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn.
All right, welcome back to Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn. Joining us in the studio, why don't y'all go ahead and introduce yourselves. Tell us who you are.
Hi, I'm Chris Harder.
And I'm Sir Honey Davenport.
And they are coming to talk to us about an exciting new show called, okay, so let me make sure I get this.
It's
Nasty Drew and that Harder boy.
Right.
And then there's a second part. What's the second part?
The Mystery of the Family Jewels.
Yes.
It's okay. A real layered concept.
I like it. I like it. It's a mouthful, you
it
might
is,
say.
It is, you know.
You know, that's how we roll. So tell us a little bit, before we get into the show, I'd actually like to know a little bit about who you are, let our listeners know a little bit who you are. So Chris, honey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I've been in New York for about 8 years. I'm a professional naked freelancer, and I work in the burlesque, right?
We're gonna have to explain what that is in just a moment.
Sure. I work in the burlesque scene a lot, and I work a lot in gay nightlife as a dancer, and I kind of fell into that just randomly. I moved to New York to be an actor, fresh off the bus, started working, you know, in go-go bars in the East Village, and then just it all kind of started falling in place.
That story.
I know.
The quintessential story. I love it.
I like that.
And I'm loving all these tattoos. And, you know, in Radio Land, we don't really get to see. But if you're following us on Twitter, then you would see a picture that
beautiful.
We just posted.
Yes, thank you.
At QSOMMYC, just in case you're not following. But it's got some beautiful tattoo work going on his arms. I'm loving it. So, honey.
Yeah, I am a performer here in New York City. I perform all over the city. I also compete in a bunch of pageants. I'm the current reigning Miss New York Continental.
Yes!
I was Miss America 2015 and a rack of other cute little crowns I got on my shelf. But
yes, I love it.
Crowns.
I love it. Trinkets. Oh, well, thank you guys so much for coming and joining us on Queer State of Mind. I appreciate it. So you've got this show coming up. Tell us a little bit about it, Chris. What's going on with this show?
Okay, so here's the show. It's a queering of the classic Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys series, which I was always a Nancy boy growing up, which is shocking, I know. But I really love the books, and, you know, I just have kind of a goofy personality, and it's been a dream of mine to kind of combine theater and burlesque and drag and create this show that makes fun, but also kind of, you know, in a way celebrates the books, and it's just quirky and kind of plays off of those classic Americana, like, costumes and language and... So that is the show in a nutshell, and Miss Sir Honey D is one of the leading queens. But I can't give away too much because it's a secret at the end.
Okay, yes, we want people to come out and see this show. So what was it like for you, Miss Honey, working in the show and being a part of the cast?
It's pretty cool. Chris and I are used to working together with very little clothes on.
Yes.
So I just released a new single that I've been touring. So I just got back off tour. I was in Germany.
Right, get it, queen. Get it. Yes.
I was in Berlin and Frankfurt. And Leipzig. It was cute.
Yeah, but you're going to go some other places so nobody knows. Ooh. Yes, ma'am.
I was going crazy.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
no.
You,
she was in the big place. She was doing it.
Yes.
And I played the track for Chris one day in the dressing room and at the Monster where we were working. And after that, he's like, hey, would you like to come and join in my show? And I was like, absolutely. Let's do it. Let's have fun. So
nice.
It's a really cool ride.
So the show is coming up in about a week.
Actually. Yeah, it's January 24th and 25th at the Slipper Room, which it's this really cute burlesque theater in the Lower East Side. It's kind of tucked away. So come one and all. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's nudity and clues.
I'm there.
Nudity and clues. What do you mean?
Well,
because it's like, are you participating in the show, kind of?
Oh yeah, I wrote the show, but I also. You know, I perform in the burlesque scene as well, and So I play that harder boy. And really, it is a full-length play, but there's drag and burlesque performances built into it. So it's almost like a musical, but instead of, you know, like, breaking out into song, we, like, break away our pants.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Even better.
Right. I see only wins.
Right? Yeah,
exactly. Only wins. So I want to make sure that people get out to see it, so we're going to repeat all that information later. But I do want to go back to what you had said earlier, if I can remember it now.
Sure.
When you described your freelance, your naked freelancer.
Sure.
What?
Sure. I like that.
I like that. I obviously, I don't look like you, so I can't, I don't have that body. I'm going to have to get into the gym or something.
Body, but round as a shoe.
Ooh, silly.
Girl, just go get you.
I'm only, bitch, get I'm only 180 pounds and I'm 6'1". Don't let this bitch think I'm not round. There's nothing round. No.
Circle is a shape.
Okay. Anyway.
Square, bitch.
So what does that entail, being a naked freelancer? How do we sign up?
Sure. I mean, I kind of say tongue-in-cheek. It really was by accident. Yeah. I, you know, when I first moved here, I thought I would be, like, in Death of a Salesman, and then I wound up doing children's theater. And then I randomly just got a job. My first go-go job was dancing at the Cock, which was really life-changing. You know, it's really, really about setting those goals high. And then after that, you know, I luckily also found these wonderful burlesque performers. And, you know, if you go out in nightlife a lot, especially gay nightlife, you know, the burlesque and that scene don't necessarily always mix. So it's kind of been fun to go back and forth between them and work with a variety of performers, with drag queens like Honey, with burlesque girls. And so that's why I say I'm a naked freelancer.
I love it. Yes. When people think about burlesque, really, it tends, you know, the image that you get is women, you know. And
yeah,
it's
absolutely
interesting to even think of this idea of boylesque that I've seen, you know, that I've seen on your, you know, on your page and stuff like that. So, like, how many, you know, talk to me about just how many, you know, kind of guys are kind of entering or performing into this burlesque scene.
Well, what's interesting about the boylesque scene is that, you know, because there's not really, again, like, this classic form, like, there's not a male equivalent of Dita Von Teese. There's really this spectrum. So, you know, my stuff is more, you know, quote unquote masculine, but it's very like Village People. You know, Tom of Finland kind of inspires me, Liberace. But guys really do a vast range. You know, there's lots of gender bending. There are trans performers. There's lots of playing with drag and incorporating that as well. So it's really like a huge spectrum. If that gives you a little bit more of an idea.
Okay, no. I think that's interesting because I have some friends back home that perform, and, you know, I've always looked at it, but I've always kind of wished, like, I would like to see some boys.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see, you know, I think it's a really cool art form, and I love kind of, like, toying with sexuality and being, like, you know, flirtatious, and I love all the things about it, but I'm just like, I'm just not, you know, I want to see some dudes.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I teach classes too, Ori.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'll teach the whole studio here.
Ooh, yes, let's learn. Yes. Yes.
Sorry, I'll be at church. I can't
right. When exactly will you be at church?
Praising.
Yes.
Honey, it says when you're in his presence, fall on your knees and give praise. And that's what I do.
Right. Oh, my God.
Are you talking about the daddy down the street? Or are you talking about the Lord?
No, you're talking about Jesus from 144.
146.
Get it right.
Right, right. We don't want to. You don't want to mix up with that other Jesus. Jesus is late.
No.
So we hear that you have some big things coming up, Miss Honey. You got some competitions and all kinds.
Yeah, my whole year is getting ready for Continental, which is one of the biggest pageants in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
representing New York.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
I took New York this year. I won every category, you know.
Ooh.
It's really cool. I've done a bunch of pageants, but the Continental has like always been my big dream. So I'm putting it all out there and getting ready for it this year. So that and getting ready for a really hot summer on Fire Island. I'm also the current reigning Miss Cherries, so I will be working at Cherries on the main this summer.
Yeah. I'll see you.
So, all right. So, I'm gonna like disclose something that's probably gonna get my gay card revoked.
Oh, let's do it.
I have never been to Fire Island.
Nunca
jamás, never.
Girl, it's magical. Oh,
really? Yeah,
it is. Get your liver ready and start doing Kegels now.
All of these things seem within reason. Yes.
Yeah, it's a good time, honey. You see all them queens and that one, you know, high drunk queen on sitting on top of the speaker. Wasn't me.
That sounded like personal experience. A piece of ham. I'm just not a piece of ham, bitch.
Island has a way of sucking you in. Like, once you're there, you're like, oh, I was going to leave on Monday, but... Oh,
yeah. It's true. It's
it just, like, sucks you in and never lets you go until you leave. And you're like,
naps are very important,
So I think we have to play... Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you work out there full-time? Because I don't know how people survive that actually work
this
there the whole summer.
This will be my first summer working out there full-time, so I'm expecting to, like, limp back home.
Right.
I can imagine the summer in general, like, I feel like I'm, like, always partying, always, like, doing something, and to be in that environment, like, I don't know, but I'm gonna have to try it.
Because you also have nature.
Believe it or not, the last time I was there with Justin. Oh, that's why I did the Drag Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am. By the pool, honey.
Yes, ma'am.
I won.
Why?
Yes, I did, honey. I give working woman realness. You know, I couldn't walk in the heels because then I was just recovering from that sickness. I wore my sneakers.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, my goodness.
But no, you should definitely go. It's a great experience. It's actually very relaxing.
Mm-hmm. We could do a we can try to do a show from there. We could do a show from Fire
Island. That would be phenomenal.
That would be great.
That actually might. Okay, we're gonna remember. Let's remember that. Let's talk about that in the meeting because that might. Yes, put it in. Put it out there. We didn't put it out on the air now, so I guess it's gotta happen. We're gonna have to do a show up in Fire Island. So yes, that would be so great. All right, before we go, guys, let me tell you. Everybody is so geeked. The summer is gonna be real live for Queer State of Mind. Right. It's gonna be lit. Yes, get your best queer life. Yes, I'm so excited.
Yes. I'm gonna be drunk, but it's gonna be all right.
No, that's cool. No, we come to the club where you at. We'll just post up, do a show. Yes, it'll be fabulous. All right, guys. So tell us where we can see it, when we can see it. We want to know where we can, or how we can get more information about the play and how we can go see it.
Absolutely. So the show is Nasty Drew and That Harder Boy, The Mystery of the Family Jewels. It's at the Slipper Room, January 24th to 25th, and you can check www.nastyhardermystery.com for more information.
Don't just type in Nasty Harder because you probably will get something that you're not trying to get. And on second thought, let's go ahead and do that. We're going to do that after the show.
Is that the one you took at the church?
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, I've been on my knees, like, all night, so totally praising Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Praise
him to the end.
Thank y'all so much for coming on the show, Chris and Honey. Thank you for coming on Queer State of Mind. We appreciate it. Make sure to let us know what y'all getting into. Keep us in the loop. Mm-hmm. And let us know what's going on with this show that's coming up, and we'll make sure to get it out there. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Together.
that's all the time we have for this week. Next week, we'll be back live with a brand new edition of Queer State of Mind and our interview with Robin Camille. Stay warm and stay safe, New York. For all of us here at Queer State of Mind and Radio Free Brooklyn, have a great weekend.
Queer State of Mind is produced by the Queer Minded Radio Network, a queer people of color focused radio community. Thank you for listening. Find out more about Queer Minded Radio Network, including our other shows, news, and more on our website at www.radioqueerminded.com.
What's up, DJ Hurricane? Radio Free Brooklyn, baby. Peace.